I think it's just important to really sit and listen and to really understand that, to really help better advise and have a better relationship with the individual.
Welcome to the All Things Retirement Podcast with certified financial planner, Anthony Alfo. Here's your host, Ben George.
Welcome into All Things Retirement. On this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about age and wisdom and how they impact financial planning. We'll do that with Anthony Alfo, certified financial planner, and he's the founder of the Cardinal Wealth Group, their office there in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. But you can find him online, as always, at cardinalwg.com. Anthony, welcome in. What's going on today?
Not much. We're kind of in the midst of doing somewhere around 80, 90 household review meetings right now. And typically that takes about 7 weeks. So we're humming over here with a lot of meetings and reviews with our clients. We typically do it this time of year, you know, with tax planning and tax returns, and just to kind of set the tone for, you know, what we want to try to accomplish and update people's plans and kind of go through it. So it's certainly a busy time, but certainly an important time for our clients.
How many of those meetings can you knock out in a single day, typically?
I would say 7 is kind of a full day. Sometimes it's 5. I mean, typically we're doing somewhere between 15 to 17 in that kind of busier week. Usually Mondays are more for preparing for the week, and Fridays are kind of like follow-up stuff. So there's not a ton of meetings on Fridays, and usually just Monday evenings is the only one that's available, where there might be one or two kind of need the time for preparation and then kind of like follow up next steps on Friday. So really, when it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are extremely, you know, busy days right now, and kind of getting home late, but at the same time, it does open up more time, and you know, it's an efficient process, I think, for the company overall. We've been doing it this way for, I think, 4 or so years. So it seems to work, but definitely it's a little busy with not being there for the kids as much and getting home a little late. But you know, try to make up for it once we're through it. We generally take some type of vacation, short vacation, as like a reward.
Awesome. Well, if you want to get in touch with Anthony and the team, you can always do so at cardinalwg.com, or you can call 609-362-5512. But today I want to dive into a topic that's going to affect everyone, regardless of age or financial status. And that's how age and wisdom impact your financial planning. So no matter where you are in life, your financial goals and priority are going to change over time. We know that. And you want to have a plan that reflects those needs as they change. So we really want to kind of explore the way in which age and wisdom impact planning strategies, and maybe get some tips from Anthony and some insights to help you make more informed decisions about your finances. And this is more of a philosophical view, Anthony, on things. But we learn so much through our life with experiences and whatnot. So I think it's important to discuss this topic today. Why does age matter in financial planning? We'll start there.
Sure. It's like, you know, if I only knew what I know now, right? 20 mm-hmm. years, 30 years ago, that type of thing. It's just so true. But yeah, no, age certainly matters when it comes to financial planning. You know, I think to put it into some context, though, age is still a number, right? It definitely influences recommendations. But I think still you have to put it in the context of that there's so many other variables with somebody's life. You know, when you're thinking about somebody, an individual or a couple, different income sources, different amounts, different investment account sizes, different tax rates, budgets, goals, concerns, health risk, risk capacity or preferences, you know, so age is important, but I think you have to also weigh it with all these other types of things. And so somebody that's 65 versus another person 65, they could have completely different financial plans or strategies. And you know, don't get me wrong, the age plays a factor, because it can be triggering events for, say, Social Security, RMDs, retirement, Medicare, risk tolerance, time horizon, things of that nature. So there's definitely going to be some common traits there with somebody that's 60 versus, say, somebody that might be 25 or 30 starting a family. But I, you know, I wouldn't say we just take everybody a similar age band and put them in kind of this box. I think you can make some mistakes there, making some certain assumptions. And I think it's better off still going through the right questions or processes and, you know, not assuming based off of just age, and to really make sure you're not missing anything and end up with the right, you know, recommendations and ultimately decisions with somebody's financial situation.
Well, we know that we want to be educated. I mean, that's, if you're listening to this podcast, that's, you know, your goal, I'm sure, is to learn more and continue to broaden your horizons as it comes to financial planning. But looking at wisdom, you know, besides the obvious that you want to be smarter about things, what role does wisdom play in planning?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have experiences and knowledge. I mean, somebody that's 60, 65 has gone through life so much more and has battle wounds and scars. And whereas somebody that's 20, 25, right, that's where everyone says they're wet behind the ears, so they don't know as much and haven't, you know, gone through as many things. So certainly plays a huge role. I think as an advisor, somebody, a wise or an advisor with wisdom, right, would be somebody that I think really actively listens more than they talk, continue their education to keep up with the ever-changing environment of this industry, being empathetic to the client's situation and what they might have gone through and their views on life, and, you know, just being calm and humble and really just, you know, triple check your work and be prepared. I think that's, you know, what a wise advisor would kind of be, if, you know.
Right. All right. Let's continue on talking age and wisdom here and how it impacts financial planning. As we learn more and as we experience things in life and as we kind of pick up these lessons along the way, and as you said, we wish we know now what we knew back then. How important is it, though, to take those lessons and those experiences and start incorporating them into your financial planning?
You know, I think that having somebody's understanding of where they're at in life is super important, and the lessons that they've gone through or experiences can really play a big role. I mean, just even think about what people have gone through over the last 15 months or so. I mean, they dealt with, I mean, there's just a ton of negativity out there. It's really travels fast today. With social media, but I mean, we've dealt with, you know, a war and rampant inflation, interest rates, bankruptcies, FTX, crypto Ponzi or scam or whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, it's a lot for people to handle. So that's kind of like one area of experiences of just what you're dealing with day to day. And I think having an advisor that's grounded and helping people that maybe are lacking conviction or concerned or scared, right? Or maybe just attracted to the next shiny thing and feel like they're having FOMO, just keeping them grounded so that they're making good financial decisions for what they are trying to achieve. So I think you kind of have the experiences of what you're going through on a day-to-day lives. And then you have kind of experiences that you've been through in life that might have, you know, left scars or an impression on you. Like, so people maybe who've lost lots of money in the market before and have sold out and never got back in or can never seem to get on in at the right times and end up always, you know, buying high and selling low. You know, this type of person, you know, you really have to spend the time with and help them develop the right strategy to help them really see the big picture, the long term, and not think of it just as in a short term transactional type of thing. Yeah, there's people that we, somebody we recently worked with who's a depression era baby. They've been, and they told me this, you know, it had a huge impact growing up in a depression. This person lives well below their means. They're, I would say, almost frugal, too frugal, right? To the point where maybe it prevents them from doing things that they otherwise could. They're always concerned about running out of money. And this person is really, you know, wants to continue to work, but, you know, helping them to learn that there's life beyond work and that they have well more money than what they really need to achieve their retirement. I mean, that has a huge implication for somebody and how their plan could take shape. You know, conversely, having parents that spend lavishly, you know, you've seen that time and time again, and you know, their view on money is going to be completely different to that person who grew up more in that depression era. We have folks that have been through divorce or widowed and suddenly have to now make all the financial decisions on their own, where before they'd never really made those financial decisions themselves and relied on somebody else. In that type of situation, we could be kind of like starting at scratch and really, you know, going through how money works and, you know, trying to find where we need to meet them at their educational level to build them up. You know, losing a loved one can really have an emotional tie to money. And, you know, I've seen people that haven't made changes to what that loved one maybe had done 10 years ago because there's that emotional attachment to the decisions that they've made. So, you know, these are just some of the many instances and situations that we come across with life experiences. I think it's just important to really sit and listen and to really understand that, to really help better advise and have a better relationship with the individual rather than kind of being robotic and just looking at, you know, the numbers and spitting out some recommendations.
If you have questions for Anthony, again, you can log on cardinalwg.com. That'll get you in touch with the Cardinal Wealth Group, or you can call 609-362-5512. Let's talk technology then, because this is, again, something that every different age group is going to have a different level of comfort with technology. I know probably your kids, as they get older, are going to probably make you feel much older at some point. I know it's inevitable, but I'm sure there's people you're working with now that don't utilize technology to the same level as our generation or the generation behind us as well. So how does that work into the process when you're working with someone based on how comfortable they are with technology?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's like kind of the tech side and an emotional side. Like, I think technology is useful behind the scenes, at least from my perspective, to be able to provide good recommendations or illustrating different things that they're trying to make a decision on, going through like pros and cons. And technology, some of them are, you know, cash flow models, and others are more like graphs and visual that can be helpful to compare different trade-offs. But I think you also have to understand the individual. If you show certain individuals that are not really going to really understand a cash flow and looking at like these types of projections over longer periods of time, you know, they might like throw up looking at that or just glance over what you think that you're communicating to them. And, you know, they might just be better off of a person where you whiteboard it and draw it out for them and have some circles and buckets and lines that really illustrate how their like retirement income will be met. So I think, you know, technology is useful, but you have to use it in a manner that is consistent with what would work best for that individual. And with regards to like technology as a, I think it's certainly helpful for them to be able to access information readily available to do some things on their own. But still, I think from a financial planning aspect, these are emotional decisions and people learn in different ways. And I think, you know, making sure that you're using the technology in the manner that's most consistent with that individual is the best route to try to go about it. We're certainly not going through the same exact process with every individual in terms of, you know, how we're presenting information. We really want to get a sense of how to best do that with them and match that up.
All right, let's then close things out with emotions. You know, as we, I guess, have more experiences and learn more throughout our life, maybe emotions don't weigh as much on things. We can be more emotional when we're younger, right? So do you find that maybe emotions play a stronger role for some generations, or do you think wisdom kind of cures everything as people get closer to retirement?
I've seen older folks that are in retirement and have gone through plenty, even more than myself, being 40, going more through the 87 crash and the tech bubble and 08 and all these other investment events that are still emotional today, like we've never been through it before. So everyone's different at how they handle these types of events and kind of go through it. And I think the best thing that we can do as advisors is to kind of partner with them, keep them grounded during these difficult times. There's certainly folks that will see it in the other lens and say, yeah, we've been through things like this before. We'll get through the other side. But everyone's a little bit different. And just kind of how you asked the question earlier with regards to life experiences shaping the financial planning, you know, I think that that really does play an impact in terms of how people handle these times. And, you know, the advisor's role is really to kind of figure out how you can best partner with them and certainly utilize whatever tech at your disposal to really help comfort them. But, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, it's not tech. It's just calling them up to seeing how they're doing and letting them know that you care, and then just letting them know that they're going to be all right and walk them through any things that, you know, is maybe troubling them at this time.
All right. Well, that's a kind of a look at Age and Wisdom and just a kind of a different approach to our normal conversations here on the podcast. But I thought very interesting to dive into that and kind of share some insight and share what you've seen work with clients through the years, Anthony. So thanks for shedding a little bit of light and, you know, sharing a little bit of your wisdom with us here. All right. A couple of mailbag questions before we get out of this episode of All Things Retirement. Claire says, I got a big bonus a few weeks ago, so big that my 401k is now maxed out for the year because so much went into the 401k from that single paycheck. But I still want to save for the rest of the year, so where should I be saving?
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly a financial plan would really help determine, A, where you can save it, you know, depending on certain income and max out levels. But looking at if you're married, you know, does your spouse work? And if they're not maxing it out, then you could then, you know, have them max out their 401k. A Roth IRA could maybe be an option, but if you're making too much, you could be phased out and might have to look at a strategy called a backdoor Roth contribution. But, you know, sometimes just opening up a non-retirement account, it might be the easiest way, and linking your account to that and just keeping that, you know, biweekly contribution going in like you did in your 401k could just be the easiest way to really maintain a similar income saving approach that you did when you have that 401k contribution going. So, yeah, I think really just looking at what's potentially an option for you given your situation and income levels to really determine what's available to you.
All right. And a question here from Doug as well. Someone told me that I should start doing some Roth conversions with money in my IRA, but I've always been told that I make too much money to do Roth, so I'm confused. How does that work?
Yeah, this is a pretty common one that pops up from time to time. Just understanding there's a difference between what's called Roth conversions and then what's called Roth contributions. So a Roth contribution is you taking money and saving it into the Roth IRA. In that example, there are max out limits. If you make too much money as an individual or household, you might not be able to contribute to a Roth IRA. When it comes to Roth conversions, A, you don't need to be working or have any earned income, and B, there are no limits, income limits, for performing a Roth conversion, where you basically are taking money from your IRA, pre-tax IRA, and basically paying the tax, some of the taxes due on it, and converting it, that money, over to a Roth IRA where it has the ability to grow tax-free into the future. So whether or not that makes sense for you or not, that's kind of a different conversation. And in some cases, it can be a little bit more complex. And other times, it's maybe more of a layup, and it's evident that you would be a good candidate. So where I would start is really, you know, financial plan and tax planning analysis to kind of see where you're at today versus where you're going to be in the future to kind of see if it makes sense to take advantage of a certain tax rate today or at some point down the road. You have to really look at what income sources you have available, which ones you might delay. When do you need this money from the IRA? So there can be a lot of considerations there to really think through when it comes to a Roth conversion. Other times it's, you know, pretty simple, and it's fairly evident if it does make sense or not. I think you really want to work with somebody that can walk you through this, that has the technology that can analyze this for you, whether those conversions make sense now or in the future. And that's probably the route that I would go with this.
All right. If you're looking for help, you can always get in touch with Anthony and the Cardinal Wealth Group at cardinalwg.com. Start your Cardinal success journey there. Get your free assessment. Plus, you can also get plenty of educational videos, a lot of downloadable materials there as well. The ultimate goal of Cardinal Wealth is to educate, enlighten, and empower. And hopefully we've done that with this episode of All Things Retirement. So we appreciate you listening, Anthony. We appreciate your insight today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to All Things Retirement. For Anthony Alfo over at the Cardinal Wealth Group, I am Ben George. Have a good week.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.